understand. Aphrodite was a myth. She never existed. But the devil and demons perpetuated this cult in order to make slaves of men. Now, say that again. When these men went to the temple of Aphrodite to worship, they were actually worshiping at the feet of demonic entities through their morally lewd behavior. Aphrodite is a myth. She never existed, but the devil and demons perpetuated this cult in order to make slaves of men. Now, this is what Paul was talking about in his letter to the church at Corinth. Now, let me ask you something. What does this statement have to do with basketball? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing lewd about athletics or physical fitness. The problem has been that without a proper understanding of what Christ has done for us in his redemptive work on the cross and silly religious traditions of men, many people are facing a health crisis. I heard a respected church leader say years ago, Americans are the only people on earth who dig their graves with their teeth. And when their teeth wear out, they buy a second set to finish the job. Too many Christians are literally ruining their health because of bad diet and a lack of exercise. There is a practical side to healing and health. We've got to take care of our bodies. Now, let's get right into the Word today, and let's begin looking at the redemptive work of Christ. But here are some things we'll share. I want to lay a good foundation this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Matthew chapter 8 because it's so chocked full of revelation. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 1. Notice what it says. And when he, that's Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you tell no man, but go your way. Notice this phrase, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's very important. We'll come back to that. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Notice verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Did you know that Peter had a wife? And Peter's wife had a mother. It's great that God will even heal mother-in-laws. Notice verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. Now when the even was come, or at evening time, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias, or Isaiah, the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now here we see a typical few days in the life and ministry of Jesus. In this account, we see so much about healing and health and the will of God for mankind. Many people are just like the leper described in verse 2. It says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Many in the church today believe that God can heal, but they don't know if it's His will to heal. I've heard people pray at the bedside of a sick person, "Lord, heal so-and-so, if it be your will." I've often heard people say, "Well, you know, brother, God is able." That's exactly the same position this leper found himself in. He came to Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, who preached the gospel, taught the word, opened blind eyes, healed the sick, and raised the dead. He worshipped him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He was saying to Jesus, "I know you have the power to heal me, but I don't know if you have the desire or the will to do so." Notice the response of Jesus in verse 3. "I will, be thou clean." Jesus told him that it was his will that he be healed. Notice that immediately the leprosy was cleansed and his healing was instantaneous. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, we have the same account, but Mark adds a dimension to the ministry of Jesus that Matthew did not make note of. Mark chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. Same man, same event. Notice what it says. It says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Jesus was moved with compassion as he reached out his hand and touched this leper. There was a yearning from the inside of Jesus that moved him to touch this man without hesitation and say, "I will, you be clean." As soon as he spoke these words, the man was instantly healed. As soon as Jesus got the "if" out of this leprous man's thinking, healing came. That's where the struggle is today for many people. They don't know if it's the will of God to heal them. Now, this is just as good a place as any to share this, so here we go. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, expressed the will of God on the earth. Now, turn with me to John chapter 6. Let me show you something. John chapter 6, verse 38. John 6:38 says this, "For I came not down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus declared that he came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent him. We know that God sent him to the earth for a redemptive purpose, so Jesus came to do the will of God in the earth. When Jesus healed the sick, he was doing the will of God. Now, notice John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. Notice what it says. John 14, 8. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Now here, one of the disciples says to Jesus, in effect, "Hey, Jesus, show us what God is like." Have you ever talked with someone who's worked for somebody or knew somebody that you really admired? There's a tendency to find out what people are really like apart from their public persona and what you see in the press and the media. "Hey, Jesus, tell us what God is really like." Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time and you don't know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God would do, look at Jesus. If you want to see the will of God in action, look at Jesus." He proceeded to tell Philip in verse 10 that the Father that dwells within me, he doeth the works. All of the miracles and healings that Jesus did were done by God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice this verse in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at one verse, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now here we have a great declaration from the lips of Peter as he's describing the ministry of Jesus to Cornelius and those in his house. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing, for God was with him. Every sick person healed under the ministry of Jesus was healed because it was the will of God. Did you notice that healing is good? The Bible says Jesus went about doing good in healing. Now here's a statement that's sure to ruffle a few religious feathers. If Jesus is healing the sick and God was making them sick, we have a major theological crisis. It was Jesus himself who said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. There are people who actually believe that God has them sick for some grand, unknown, mysterious purpose. I met a man several years ago who tried to convince me that God incapacitates certain people, certain men and women, with disease so that others will marvel at how well they bear up under the weight of the suffering and pain. Oh, please, give me a break. You really don't believe that. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, we can clearly see that Jesus was the deliverer and Satan was the oppressor. Now, the word oppressor here is a big, long Greek word, and I'm going to do my best to show you what this word means. And it's pronounced katadunastuyo. How's that for a mouthful? KATADUNASTEUO. It's a compound word, and it's kata, which means something coming down, and the word dunastes, which means a ruler or an officer or someone of great authority. It gives you the picture of people being pressed down by a ruler or some authority. And the scripture says that it was not God oppressing people with sickness and disease, but diabolos, the false accuser, the devil, or the slanderer. Listen, it is the will of God that you be well, healed, and whole. Not once in the ministry of Jesus do we see anyone turned away because it was not the will of God for them to be healed. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to see something that's very important that people often overlook. Now, notice what Jesus told this former leper to do after he was healed. We're in Matthew chapter 8. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see thou tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, here's a little sideline that I'd like to emphasize from time to time. Notice that Jesus told the leper, shh, don't tell anybody. But go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. There were many times that Jesus healed people and said, shh, see that no man know it. Shh, don't tell anybody. It used to blow my mind when I'd see Jesus doing that in the scripture. Till finally, one time, I got a revelation. I understood why Jesus did what he did. Jesus did what he did because he was moved with compassion. Jesus was not out to make a reputation for himself. He didn't care what people thought about it. He cared about people, not about what people thought about what he did. Did you get that? Jesus cared about people, not about what people thought about what he did. He was not out to make a reputation for himself. You know, I often read this account from Mark chapter 1, and it words it a little bit differently, and it says, "And a leper came to him, kneeling unto him, beseeching him, saying unto him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed." This is Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. And Jesus told this guy, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now, I've said this many times, most people that I know, most preachers that I know, if they had a leper that was healed instantly under their ministry, would drag that poor fellow around to every meeting they preach for the next 15 years. And before they minister, they'd have him get up and give his testimony. "I want Brother Jim Bob to testify about how he is healed under my ministry." Well, with that kind of attitude, he'd probably be the last one healed under your ministry of leprosy. But if you're moved with compassion, your focus is ministering life to people, not what people think about it. Now, here's something that I want you to see. Jesus told this man to do something. He said, "Go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now, under the Levitical law, when a leper was cleansed, he had to go and submit to an examination from the high priest. And the high priest would do certain things. The leper had to bring certain things as a sacrifice. Now, I'm going to touch upon this briefly. I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 14. This is where you find the commandment that Moses gave. And just follow along with me. I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 14. Skip around a little bit, but we'll get most of this in. Leviticus 14:1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper." Now notice this. "Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean. And he shall let the living bird loose into an open field." Now, go down to the 10th verse. This is further instruction to lepers who were healed or cleansed. Verse 10, Leviticus 14. "And on the eighth day he shall take two lambs without blemish, one a ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a weave offering before, or wave offering that is, before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. As the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy." Verse 19 says, "And the priest shall offer the sin offering, make atonement for him that's to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering." Verse 22. "And two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and one shall be for a sin offering and another for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." Verse 25, I know this is tedious, but you got to see this. "And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Notice verse 29. And the rest of the oil that's in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. Now here we see in the Levitical law an offering and the shedding of blood for an atonement for sin. A type, if you will, of what Jesus would later accomplish on the cross. Jesus is our Passover lamb that was slain not for our atonement, but for the remission of sins. There's a difference between atonement and remission. The word atone in the Old Testament scripture means to cover. That's why they had to do it every year, because their sins really weren't cleansed. They were still there. They're just covered up. God didn't look upon them. But when Jesus went into that upper room to celebrate Passover with his disciples in what we refer to as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." There's great significance in the fact that Jesus' body was broken. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many," and he used a new word, "for the remission of sin." Not atonement, but remission. Atone means to cover. Remission means to blot out, to wash away. So we can see that Jesus, the anti-type, was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices for cleansing, for sin, and for healing. And that when he shed his blood on the cross, it brought freedom for us in that our sins were washed away, never to be remembered again. Not only that, the Bible says his body was broken. Have you ever wondered why, when we have communion, we drink from the cup and we eat the bread? Well, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. When Egypt gave up the Israelites, they had no choice. When Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, not only did they sprinkle the blood on the doorposts, we all know that story from Sunday school, but they were commanded to take a lamb of the first year without spot, without blemish, kill it, roast it with fire, and eat every bit of it. There was a purpose in the body of that lamb. Later on in the Psalms, it says that when Israel left Egypt, watch this, there was not one feeble one among their tribes. What does that mean? That means there was nobody infirmed or incapacitated. Could you imagine a populace or a group of people, anywhere from between 2 to 6 million people, who had spent 400 years in hard bondage and slavery, leaving Egypt in a moment by a mighty hand, and there's not one feeble one among them? That is amazing. Why did that happen? Because they ate the body of that lamb, a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus.